You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Wolverine here on a Monday night, January 23rd. Anthony Broom here, joined by Chris Ballas, Clayton Safey. A lot of ground to cover today. We'll kind of keep it fairly cut and dry, and we'll take questions at the end if time permits for it. But as the prompt on the screen says, if you're watching our video edition, be sure to like the video and subscribe to the Wolverine for all of the latest, either from press conferences or our the shows we do here. Every week, Monday night at 6 o'clock with the three of us, whatever it is, be sure to like and subscribe and come back and join us. So, fellas, we'll just kind of hop right into it today. The news of the week coming into this edition of our show is that Michigan has a staff opening right now. And I know that, Ballas, I'll kind of put the ball in your court on this one, seeing as you put out the update today. What are you willing to share on the latest of what's going on with the coaching staff position that has been vacated by letting go of Matt Weiss, whatever you're willing to share on that?
Yeah, I'm willing to share. Go to thewolverine.com and pay $29 until – no, I'm just kidding. We'll give you a little tidbit here. Some names that have come up, Tavita Pritchard, who is at Stanford, played for Jim Harbaugh. Some serious interest there. You guys should read about him. We put up an update today about him. So Kirk Campbell is somebody that Clayton has talked about a lot, an analyst at Michigan, and has done a great job and is considered one of the up-and-comers in the profession, according to On3. So that's kind of exciting. And a few more names that you guys are going to want to read about, one including one that is an incredible recruiter. So go to thewolverine.com, check it out there. Some good stuff there behind our paywall, but certainly worth the whatever 30 cents a month that you're – 30 cents a day that you'll be paying or 20 cents a day that you'll be paying. We've got a great community there, Michigan fans, the most active community of Michigan fans anywhere. So we hope you'll join us.
Well, I guess, yeah, please go over there to the Wolverine and check out the update that was put out earlier today. We'll kind of keep those things separate where they belong. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. Take advantage of that offer as well. But I want to kind of steer it in this direction here, because I know there was a lot of criticism thrown Weiss's way for the job he did on the field. We'll figure out later on what's going on with the off-field stuff. But the fact of the matter is he's no longer with the program. Clayton and I sort of hit on that the other day when we did the Thursday show. But I wanted to kind of take it this direction and talk about, you know, is this an opportunity? Like, is this an opportunity to kind of either expand on the things that Michigan's been doing, give themselves a different look, add a different look to the recruiting, to the offense, whatever it may be? I guess, Clayton, I'll start with you. I mean, now that there's the opportunity to add someone to this offensive coaching staff, which offensive line loaded, quarterback, a star, your running backs, you have both of them coming back, and you don't make a hire based on what you have for 1 year, but knowing what we, I mean, the fact of the matter is there is an open position and it's an opportunity for Michigan to upgrade in some areas, but what area do you think specifically you might like to see Michigan explore a little bit more with this next hire?
Well, yeah, I do think Jim Harbaugh always looks at staff changes like that, whether or not it's a really good coach leaving. And, you know, when you say Matt Weiss was criticized for, you know, his performance on the field in terms of coaching, you know, maybe in the TCU game, but I think people were pretty pleased with Michigan putting up, you know, more points than they ever have in a season since 1904. I mean, it was a really good offense. So I thought he did a good job, him and Sharon Moore working well together. But I'll say this about the Michigan offense. The passing attack wasn't maybe as good as it could have been this year. And if you look at the track record of Matt Weiss, he's actually more of a run game guy than he is a pass game guy. And he was involved with some of the best run games in all of NFL history with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson there. Did a great job, added that element. But maybe Michigan could get a guy who's a little bit more suited to help the pass game out. I think that would really help this team. And as you know, Chris has mentioned some of those candidates out there. I think it is amazing now that we're at this point where Jim Harbaugh's 59, he's been in coaching a while. I know he started late, but he has a pretty good coaching tree at this point. There are a lot of guys out there with good backgrounds on either side of the ball that coached under him. You couple that with the Baltimore Ravens connections, another hint there to go check out the update over at thewolverine.com. And you have some good candidates, plus some people like Kirk Campbell, who's an analyst here, and maybe one of those quote-unquote rising stars that could step in if Michigan goes that direction. So I'd say maybe, you know, somebody with a better pass game background would help Michigan out, and it could be an upgrade. Recruiting's another area. You know, Matt Weiss didn't seem to be, you know, he was still learning. I mean, it was midway through the season. He was talking about it at a press conference, saying how he didn't realize how big relationships were going to be in recruiting. He thought it was going to be more about the track record of how the team's playing on the field. Everyone knows it's a combination, and it might be more relationships than anything, as Steve Klinkscale and a bunch of other guys talk about when they talk about recruiting. So I think it's that. Maybe first and foremost, recruiting. And there are some good recruiters on the pool of candidates, or at least a portion of those guys. So I think that could be something that could really add to Michigan's offense as well, especially the quarterback position, because you got J.J. McCarthy, and then, you know, a little bit of a question mark for the years following that.
I don't remember him saying that, and that blows my mind. You must have been there, and Clay was obviously at all of them. And what a boy, that's a joke. Not knowing that relationships are big in recruiting.
He said he didn't know he was gonna, and he didn't do this, but he's like, I'm not gonna play Fortnite with these guys until 11 at night, you know, when I could be game planning. And I understand that stance, but
I get it too. But at the same time, everything about recruiting is relationships, with the exception now of NIL, which is huge. But that's insane. But he was not a good recruiter, flat out. And this is something that Jim Harbaugh is definitely going to be looking for, guys, when he goes out and gets a new coordinator. This is something that we were talking to somebody in the building about, and they said he wants a good young go-getter, you know, somebody who has experience recruiting and somebody who can help in the pass game. It was interesting listening to Joel Klatt's podcast today, and he said, you know what, Sharon Moore was really the kind of the guy, as going on as he understood it, that was calling more of the plays as the season went on. Matt Weiss was, as we said, the pass game coordinator a little bit and working with the quarterbacks, but he was also the red zone guy. And if there was one thing that we were complaining about this year different times, it was Michigan's red zone offense. So get somebody there. I remember Jed Fish being outstanding down there, guys, some of the plays that he called. And we all remember the good shit Jed play against BYU, I think it was, when Jim Harbaugh turned to him and you could read his lips and things like that. So they need to be better there. I think they will be. I think this is one of those hires that is going to be critical in terms of recruiting, because in this day and age, guys, Urban Meyer used to say it. We can hate Urban Meyer all we want to, but he said, I would never recruit a guy that wasn't a great recruiter, a very aggressive recruiter, because you can't have that in this day and age. And on that, maybe nothing else, but on that, I agree with him.
Yeah, that's a dollar in the swear jar, by the way.
sorry.
Thank you all for that.
Yeah.
I think it's important to note also, this program's in a very different place than when Matt Weiss was hired. I mean, that was coming from a full, it wasn't a rebuild, but it was a hard reset on the program coming off that COVID year. You know, they'd got rid of Ben McDaniels, and it was an upgrade. I mean, compared to what was there before, but and credit to Matt, I mean, you can give credit to Matt Weiss for his role in helping build Michigan to what it was. But the fact of the matter is like, and no disrespect to any of that, like a Kirk Campbell that's in the line for the job. I think he's got a bright future, and I think he'll probably be in an expanded role at Michigan at some point or elsewhere. But you have an opportunity here to kind of go in and like you can shoot a little more, a little higher, I guess, and bring in someone with a more proven track record. And, you know, sometimes you have to learn on the fly too. Some of those guys just kind of hit the ground running. I mean, Sharon Moore cut his teeth at Central Michigan, and Grant Newsom is a guy who, you know, by all accounts has been good on the recruiting trail and kind of worked his way up. So there are different paths to that, but we say that Matt Weiss was in charge of the red zone and those types of things. Does that mean we can we officially kind of put that Philly special play on him? Is that
I think so. Now that he's gone, you know what? It's all your fault, Matt. And no matter what else you did, it was funny. Somebody said about whatever he did, it couldn't be nearly as bad as that. And you know what? Yeah, it's probably not true, but what a terrible play call that was. And yeah. But Jim Harbaugh, it's like Jim Harbaugh said he approved it, and you know what he said, he took the blame for it. But Matt, we're going to pile that on you as well. We're going to throw a little more dirt on your grave on the way out. No, that's mean. But it was a terrible play. Yeah, but I'll say this. It wasn't great. There were times this year where it just wasn't – it looked like a hodgepodge of – you know, it looked like when Josh Gattis was here and you're throwing stuff against the window and hoping it's – or the wall against – and hoping it sticks. And so – you know what? Here we are. The next guy, you know, we'll see how they do that. But as Klatt said, you know what? Give Sharon Moore some more duties. I love Sharon Moore. I think he's a great young coach. Like Klatt said, he said, I've blown away at in talking to him and knowing where he cut his teeth and everything else, that this guy's more than capable. I'm comfortable with Sharon Moore taking the vast majority of the play calling duties next year.
Here's my one concern with that is that the offensive line is such an important position. Now, Sharon Moore has proven over the last 2 years where he was co-offensive coordinator and then even more duties in 2022, you know, with the same title, that he can do it. You know, but I do think there is a little bit of a balance there, that when you start to give him even more, and by all accounts, he's done a great job. And then talking to EJ, he said he was probably the recruiter of the cycle if we had that award for Michigan. And he became a dad either again or for the first time. I don't remember exactly this year. So he's had a heck of a year. So he can take on a lot of responsibility, but you got to be a little careful there because, you know, in between series and in between drives and things like that, you got to pay attention to the offensive line because there's so many intricacies there. But you also got to be planning for what you're going to do on the next drive. So it's a balance. And you know, help him out with a guy that maybe comes in as pass game coordinator. But I agree, Sharon Moore has done a fantastic job, and just the way he's risen up the ranks here at Michigan has been, you know, a testament to him, but also just kind of, you know, a lot of these coaches that are coming up under Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. And my final thought on this is that when you look at the potential candidates, I know that inherently the immediate thing people go to is, oh, well, it's gotta be a quarterback's coach. And I don't know that necessarily needs to be the case. I mean, remember when Matt Weiss was hired, originally, the plan was going to be for Jim Harbaugh to coach the quarterbacks. And then he hires Weiss and assigns him to that position. I am intrigued by the idea that they could have a candidate or two in mind that has experience developing and recruiting wide receivers, especially given the fact that I think you develop these guys that are on the roster first and foremost. I mean, you've got a guy in Darius Clements who's 6'3", 6'4", Maurean Walker, 6'4". You have a guy that can come in and develop those guys. And all of a sudden, your red zone play calling gets a hell of a lot easier when you have these twin tower type of guys to go to. So I am intrigued by the idea of a candidate that has experience in that regard. So we'll see what happens with that. Any other thoughts from you guys on the staff or just the offense in general?
I can't even imagine Brian Griese working for Jim Harbaugh. And I know his name's been mentioned too. He's a quarterback's coach at San Francisco. A, is he going to want to get out there and get after it recruiting? You know what? This guy's made a ton of money in the NFL and everything else. And is an analyst on different networks. So, and now he's in the NFL. Is he really going to want to come back here? I don't see that. I know his name's been brought up by a few times and rightfully so. I think there's a little bit of interest there, but I do not see that happening.
And would that be the right move? I mean, Brian Griese's been in coaching for 1 year. He hasn't called any plays. And I hate to – I'm not – this isn't hating on Brian Griese. I think he's done a good job there. You continue to see people rave about him on Twitter and, you know, just following from afar. But he's also in a very quarterback-friendly system under Kyle Shanahan with a bunch of playmakers. He's navigated it well, looks like, with having a few different quarterbacks, including Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy. But I think, you know, that could be an option, you know, and put that on the table. But I would go with somebody who's a little bit more experienced or has been here or something like that. But I mean, hey, you got a national championship winning quarterback out there in the coaching ranks. You might as well at least shoot him a text. I know he's busy right now, though.
But we all know that they're holding out for Tom Brady anyway when he retires. So it's a moot point.
I saw a Photoshop of Brady with like a coaching headset and hat on. And
that's what he's going to want to do. Is come back and recruit. And let's see, what am I going to do with my $500 million here in my time now? I think I'm going to go out and recruit these kids from coast to coast and be a quarterback's coach. So I don't think so.
No. Yeah, Tom Brady, a man who just got divorced, mind you, is going to pass up the $35 million waiting on him at Fox whenever he decides to hang it up to come make like $750,000 and coach the quarterbacks
out of the goodness of his heart to help the alma mater.
Golly, he's a Michigan man.
That's right.
It would be legendary, and he wouldn't have to work that hard to recruit. I feel like, I mean, who wouldn't want to play for Tom Brady? But obviously, it's not going to happen.
It all depends on the money. If they'd say thanks, Tom, but I'm going to take this $13 million NIL deal. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, really quick, I want to give Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers their flowers for it's like this viral challenge where it's like just take the biggest bum of a quarterback you can find off the street and see if you can go win a Super Bowl. And now they're one game away from potentially being there. So
it's like
shout out to Kyle Shanahan. If he ever had a real quarterback, it would be amazing what they would do. But
it's like playing Madden on expert mode, like just for fun, you know.
Yeah.
and we're sorry to Brock Purdy's mother for calling him a bum. So we apologize for Anthony Broom. All right, what's next, boys?
Well, let's move on to spring conditioning, or winter conditioning, I should say, started last week in Ann Arbor. We talked to a couple guys early in the week out at a camp, Clayton and I did, and then you know, you got a couple weeks here now before whatever, 5-6 weeks. We're not sure what the timeline is before spring football starts, but this is kind of where the bones of next year's team begin to take form and guys start developing physically first and foremost. Then you get them out on the field and see what they can do, see what you can put on their plate in the spring. I wanted, since we've been talking about Matt Weiss in the offense tonight and what Michigan does to fill that role, I want to talk about some of the players, and I kind of just hinted at it with guys like Darius Clemens and Amorian Walker, guys on this roster on the offensive side of the ball that we're looking at to take a step next year. I kind of tipped my hand. Those are the two guys I would have spoken about are Darius Clemens and Amorian Walker, but I guess you just kind of go around the room and guys that you are putting some stock into that you can kind of buy low on right now.
Go ahead, Clay.
I would mention the third sophomore to be wide receiver, Tyler Morris. I thought, and I agree with you on those other two guys. It'll be interesting to see where Amorian Walker ends up, whether that's defensive back or wide receiver. But Tyler Morris is a guy who I think runs incredible routes. He was the second guy in after Roman Wilson went down in the Fiesta Bowl for a couple drives, and he was in there playing in the biggest of spots. He had a huge third down pickup at Rutgers when that game was still in doubt. We talked to him at the bowl game as well, and we'll have something up with that in the next few days. But I think he's a guy that could take a step. I also think that there's so much talent on this offensive line now. Like, that offensive line room has guys that are going to be sophomores and juniors, or even a senior in Jeff Percy, who could easily start on a very good offense in the Big Ten. But there's just plenty of talent, you know, and they brought in some transfers as well. So I think the offensive line room, that Sharon Moore has that thing humming right now. But I would point to a few of those guys like Giovanni El Hadi. You know, if somehow he got in there, now he's got a couple all Big Ten guards in front of him. But Raheem Anderson could take a step. Andrew Gentry, Chris, you talked to him down at the bowl, and he was saying, yeah, he's just kind of getting there back to 100%, not healthy, but 100% back in football shape and the football rhythm of everything and playing at this level, even though he's what, about to turn 21 or 22 or something like that. But
yeah,
he's another guy. But I think this offense has a lot of those types of guys.
That's great stuff, Clay. I can see why Austin Fox's cousin in Westphalia, who is married, by the way, calls you her soulmate after watching these podcasts. She said you're her spirit animal.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, Renee, shout out to you. So someday, Clay, someday. But I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball and go to Derek Moore. And I think Derek Moore is set for a breakout season. I think this guy has so much more to give. I think you're going to see him become an outstanding pass rusher at Michigan. And he's just – he's got all the that extra gear. And we didn't get to see enough of it at times this year. And I think there's some frustration on his part. I remember watching him at the end of that Iowa game. I think he played eight plays. He's like, man, you know, he thought he'd get in there more. But with Yabby Oki moving on to Charlotte, to where he will play for Biff Poggi, his fifth school, I think it is. Good luck to him. I think that opens the door for Derek Moore. I think Braden McGregor is a guy. We saw glimpses of him against Ohio State where, okay, he's really starting to come on. And even though he's a veteran now, I think he's got more to give too, and he's going to get more opportunities as well. So I look for those guys in there. And you know what? I want to see Nikaiho Green come back and see what he does in there. There's going to be some good competition. Ernest Hausman coming in as a transfer, I think, is going to play a ton of ball. But don't forget about Nikaiho Green, who was really mentioned right there athletically with Junior Colson and has played some football here. I want to see what those linebackers and those edges can do. So I'm excited about it, man. I can't believe I don't know how many days till kickoff, Clay. I bet you do.
I think it's like 2:30 now or something like that.
There you go. Anthony, what'd I tell you? I knew he'd get it. Yeah.
He's the numbers guy.
That's why Renee loves him.
Whenever we cite the Wolverine stats and information department, that is Clayton Safey and the deep dives that he does. Yeah, I mean, I talked about some of the offensive guys that I like, but I also think we should be buying stock, putting heavy stock in on Kenneth Grant. I mean, I was doing something on defensive position battles, and I'm, you know, he's not just going to be handed the job at nose tackle, but man, 6'3", 355, 356, whatever it is, just kind of feels like he was built for that role that's vacated by Mozzie Smith. And people forget he was a summer enrollee last year too. He didn't go through spring ball or anything like that. So finally going to get a full off season. I think that he's going to be a guy that will be in line to take a huge leap. I mean, inherently right now, we don't know who the starting cornerback on the other side of Will Johnson is going to be. So if we're talking about who you buy stock in, I guess take your pick between Jaden McBurrows and Miles Pollard, and we'll see what those guys can do. But from there, I mean, yeah, there's good depth and a lot of, you know, they've found a way, something that's very impressive to me, especially we're not that far removed from, it's actually crazy to think about, this next football season will be 3 years removed from that joke of a year that was the COVID season. But it's been really impressive to me how in such a short amount of time, they've not kind of been able to cultivate a roster full of experienced guys mixed with kind of these young up and comers that we're talking about putting stock into. So a lot of guys, number of guys you can go to. I mean, we could probably do a whole show on that, but Clayton, I guess your thoughts on any defensive guys.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with basically your list. I will say there's a forgotten guy out there named Zeke Berry, who I think could take a big step forward. And when you look back at the recruiting process, Michigan takes him as basically a safety, but he's also a guy that I remember EJ talking about as somebody who could easily move over and play the cornerback spot. Could he start repping there maybe in a merge? Or is Cody Jones going to be good enough at nickel where then you play Mike Sainristall on the outside at times, maybe not the whole time? I would have some concerns with that, but I know that's a theory that some people have, you know, kind of thrown out there, at least in discussion. So that would be interesting. But I'll kind of leave it at Zeke Berry. I think he's an intriguing guy. And then Keon Saab, another guy who's kind of forgotten about. I really like the safeties next year. And I think that even Makari Page is going into a senior year could take a big step because we saw flashes of him this year. He kind of had a midseason injury a little bit that held him out. But I thought he was really intriguing the way he could cover and, you know, stop the run. So there are plenty of names. I think Michigan's got a ton coming back, and I agree with Chris that linebacker, you know, there's kind of a logjam there, and it'll be interesting to see who emerges.
Yeah, and who knows what happens. We know the transfer portal is closed right now, but everyone goes through spring football and maybe a surprise or two somewhere or another, and there's a guy. I mean, they added Yabby Oki, 13 days before the season started? So I wouldn't. Everything is still on the table as it pertains to transfer portal and things like that. So just a quick little primer on that. Now let's move over and talk about our friends over at the Rogue Shop. Richard and Charmaine have been amazing, amazing partners for us. Really starting with football season. Now we're into the meat and potatoes of basketball season. They've been amazing with us. So check out rogueshop.com. If you have issues sleeping, chronic pain, anxiety, stress, all of those things, you know, mental health is important right now, and you should take care of yourself. And if there is something that Rogue Shop can do for you to make that happen, they've done wonders for us and some of the stuff that they've sent along in terms of CBD, THC, edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps. You guys know the long list of products that we go through every single week here. You know that Richard and Charmaine handcraft all of their topicals, and everything there is handmade. They grow all of the they grow everything in their own facility. Everything is made with their own product. 24/7 chat support on their website. Or if you have questions about it, they're big into the education side of it too. They'll answer a question for you. They will point you in the right direction of something you might be looking for. Everything that they make, all their edibles are custom formulated with cannabis, vitamins, and plant materials. They are, of course, located out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. They are a small business. They are a business right in the heart of Big Ten country. Disabled veteran-owned, Black-owned, woman-owned. They only have 5 employees, so everything they are making for you is out of love. So visit RogueShop.com today for 10% off using the promo code THEWOLVERINE. That's ROGUESHOP.com. That's ROGUESHOP.com. And if you order something from them, it always comes with a handwritten note. It's a very personable experience. And fellas, I know that we every week we come on here and sing their praises.
Yeah, we should. And the pain creams, what I've been using, the workouts don't get any easier, guys, when you get to be 39 like me. So it's on the elbows, man. It's amazing. I use it. Literally, the pain goes away. And it's been fantastic. So I appreciate that. And on top of that, man, it's been, you know what, you get through football season. You guys know how rough it is, man, how much we work. And you're always something on your mind. Those gummies at night, man, I get 8 hours of sleep. And I wake up feeling great. So I appreciate them. I appreciate their sponsorship and everything they've done for us.
All right, again, use the promo code THEWOLVERINE for 10% off today over at rogueshop.com. That's ROGUESHOP.com. Shout out to our friends over there. Let's change sports now. Again, probably it's going to be a little bit of a quicker episode today, but this last segment here, I think, could generate some discussion. Michigan basketball did what they do best again last week. They went 1-1, lost a game Thursday night at Maryland, won a nail biter on Sunday against Minnesota, a game that they had to have, certainly closer than it should have been. But where this team is at right now, they're sitting at 11-8. They're 5-3 in the Big Ten, and they will continue to say, we're still in it. We're in second place in the Big Ten. But this is a huge week for them. They do not have a resume win right now. Every chance they've kind of had at one has kind of been thrown off to the wayside. Purdue comes to town on Thursday night. It's going to be a 9 o'clock tip at Chrysler Center. We'll see what's going on with Jet Howard and his ankle. Looked like he sprained his ankle, was in a walking boot after the game. On Sunday, we don't know what the timeline of his return might be, but it didn't look great. Maybe they've avoided catastrophe, where they're going to be tight-lipped about it. We won't know until he's truly back. But fellas, where are we at with this team right now? Because KenPom has them finishing the season at 16-15. That's not going to be enough to get them into the tournament. That might not even be enough to get them into the NIT. This team doesn't have much of a resume now, and I don't know where this is going next. I suspect it will probably end somewhere in the range of, you know, 16 or 17 wins, just based on the inconsistency of the product. And that's disappointing, but where are you guys at with this team right now? Cause I have my opinions on it, and I was roasted for them, but I want to hear your guys' take.
It doesn't. I mean, you know what, Jet Howard, it doesn't sound like it's overly serious based on what we've heard. So, and these are preliminary reports, you know, maybe he plays against Purdue. To me, that's the biggest game of the year. Okay. If you want to get back on track to the point where you are at least talking about the bubble, then you can beat the number one team on your home floor and you finally get a quad one win. And it's a huge one, right? So, and I think they're capable guys. I really do. If they put it all together, they play hard. To me, that's the biggest concern is that they know what's on the line, for example, and they go to Maryland and they just crap the bed. That was embarrassing. The effort there, it was like a layup drill at times, and that just can't happen. So, if they can get back on track with a win over Purdue and then split at Penn State, at Northwestern, ideally it'd be great to get both. I don't think that's in the cards, guys. You know what? You look at these games that they can win and could win, and it's every game, but they just don't win them. So they need to make winning plays down the stretch, and they just haven't had it in them. So to me, the season, they're at a crossroads here where not even at a crossroads, they're behind the eight ball to get even to peek out behind it. They got to win on Thursday night.
Yeah. It's a huge game to me. The number one thing is Jet Howard's health, because when I look at, you know, I think that would at least give Michigan a chance in this game, and they have more than a chance. I mean, KenPom has it as a 5-point game right now. You look at, you know, Michigan's home schedule and what they've done at home. They've been good. They've lost by 2 points to Virginia, a top 10 type of team, and 2 points to Central Michigan, a terrible game. But other than that, you know, Michigan's played well. They've held serve. The issue has been what, Chris, you're talking about, is not winning the games maybe that they're, quote-unquote, supposed to lose, you know, close. You got to win some of those. And when you do play a team close, some of those you got to gut them out, and they haven't been able to do that. So that's kind of where I'm at is, you know, this offense with Jet Howard out, it really was stuck in the mud. I know Juwan Howard said they won in the mud on Sunday against Minnesota, and that's great. It was, you know, great to pull that win out. It would have been an absolutely disastrous loss, almost as bad as Central Michigan losing to that Minnesota team at home. But you need a little bit more offensively. They finally got Hunter Dickinson going. He scored 23 points, 18 of those coming out of post-ups, something that he really hasn't done as well lately. You know, teams double-teaming him. Teams playing him a little bit different, mixing up coverages. And then when Michigan's not hitting their outside shots like they weren't on Sunday, then Michigan's offense has really struggled. So Ken, you know, and everything looked tough. They were working for everything and they didn't get a ton. So Jet Howard's health is going to be huge. Don't know if he'll be out there Thursday. That really hurts their chances in this game, because I agree. I think this was kind of the game you were pointing to that could be a potential turning point for Michigan. But Zach Edey coming in here, it'll be fun to watch. You know, he's the front runner for the National Player of the Year, averaging 23-13. I mean, it's just unheard of type of stuff and really dominant. So Purdue does everything well. Purdue's going to test Michigan in a ton of areas that, you know, Michigan has struggled in this year, offensive rebounding. Purdue's going to clean up on the offensive glass if Michigan, you know, doesn't do something about that. And even then, they're really good at it. They're really good on the inside. They're going to block a bunch of shots. It's going to be tough for Doug McDaniel and Kobe Bufkin to drive in. Everything's going to be tough. So they got to play a really good game, but I think they're going to have a chance.
I'll take a little umbrage to your fact about playing well at home. Overtime against Ohio, Lipscomb gave them a battle. So Minnesota, they were down 8-0 early. So, but they are finding ways to pull out all those games, with the exception of course, that big superpower Central Michigan team, in addition to Virginia.
Yeah, it's more that they haven't been able to get those on the road,
right?
And they have somehow escaped some of those home games, and even extend that to Eastern Michigan at Little Caesars.
Right. But, yeah. Jeez.
They've avoided some disasters there outside of Central Michigan.
Yeah. Nobody avoids disaster. Nobody avoids disaster better than Michigan, with exception, with one big exception. So there you go.
With one big disaster.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but I don't see them going one extreme or the other. I think they'll kind of just continue to be what they have been. Mm-hmm. Win a couple, lose a couple, win a couple, lose a couple. You know, I have questions about the Purdue game Thursday, just because, you know, Hunter Dickinson versus Zach Edey, that's a 9 o'clock tip. That's one of the games of the night. He hasn't played very well when he's matched up against those other kind of star centers. And it's going to have to start with him, regardless of if Jeff Howard plays or not. But you look at this team, I mean, on the road, that Iowa game that they let slip away hurts. The Central Michigan game hurts. If you had any semblance of an offense at Michigan State, you win. Maryland, I think at times the effort was, and that's the key, is the effort. The effort at times has been embarrassing this year, and not what you expect from a team that, you know, the hashtag they use is the four competitors only. And I don't know where this is going. If you want to, again, I agree with the notion that if you are going to even have a discussion about saving your season, You have to win this game on Thursday night, and that's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you lose it, you're sitting at 11-9. You don't get another game against Purdue, and it's only going to get tougher because you'll have the two road games against Penn State and Northwestern. Ohio State has been down lately, but that's a game that they're not projected to win, according to Ken Pom's computers. You still play Indiana twice. You play Wisconsin twice. You still have to play Rutgers at the rack. You play Illinois. This is they can sit up at the podium and say, hey, we're right in this. We're 5-3. Well, it's going to figure itself out what they are really quick, because right now Purdue is the class of this conference and it's everybody else. And I don't know if Michigan's going to be a team that is somewhere in that top group at the top of the standings when it, you know, comes time to determine where seeding is and all that, or if they're going to be a 10-10 team in conference play. They keep having this moment. So you're like, oh, well, that's going to be what lights a fire under them. Oh, well, that definitely will be what lights a fire under them. And ultimately, and Chris, you wrote this, you are what your record says you are. And there are a couple games over 500, and that's what they are right now.
Yep. And they've won the games, basically Penn State at home, Maryland at home, Minnesota twice, and you needed a rally late to beat Minnesota. So yeah, Juwan Howard said, they are in second place right now. I think a lot of teams with their schedule would be in second place right now in the Big Ten. And some of those teams that are 3-4 or 2-4 right now, it's just a matter of who you've played and when you've played them. So again, starts Thursday, guys. To me, that's when you make up for past sins, like losing to Central Michigan and, you know, letting that Iowa game get away. That was just an absolute gut punch.
Yeah, Michigan hasn't played any of the top five Big Ten teams if you look at the Ken Pom rankings. So, and that's going to change, obviously, Thursday. But 5-3 looks pretty good. But when you really dive into it, again, as you just said, two of those wins over Minnesota, one of them is Maryland at home, Penn State. You know, they still need to collect some of those wins. I think seven or eight more of their games coming up are against those top five teams. So you're going to have to, you know, not only continue to stay above 500 in the league, you're going to have to be well over that, I think, because you dug yourself quite a hole going back to that disaster against Central Michigan. And you're going to have to do it against tougher competition, which is going to be more challenging, of course, inherently. So, uphill battle. But again, Jet Howard's health to me is really important, because this is a crucial stretch. And if they're not able to have him out there, then it's going to make it even more tough. And you're looking at, you know, you could lose 2 out of 3 here, and then you're pretty much dead. I will say, I don't think it's do or die on Thursday in terms of if you lose, it's all lost. There still are some opportunities out there, but this would be the best one. And, you know, if they are, let's say they do get to 19 wins or something like that, if you have that Purdue win on your resume, that right now, if you look at brackets, which is way too early to, but they'd be the top overall seed, then that would certainly help your case.
Yeah, there's just no gimmies out there except for Nebraska and then February 18th against Michigan State at home. You know, unless they get Malik Hall back and then they become the early 90s UNLV team, according to Tom Izzo. So anyway, I'm joking. That'll be a tough game. We all know it. But yeah, and Jet Howard needs to step up, guys, on the defensive end of the floor too. He can't go through the motions. He didn't have a point in the first 15 minutes of that game. Didn't play very well defensively again. And so he really needs to round out his game and be more than just a scorer and shooter, and really needs to bring it to be a big time plus on this team too. So it's not just getting Jet Howard back. It's getting the plus version of him that's busting his butt on every play.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, Thursday is huge for them. It's not do or die, like you said, Clayton, but it is certainly, It just makes everything else, every game is a must win from there. And, if you're looking at getting yourself to 8, you know, you get yourself to 18 and then see if you can win one or two in Chicago, you're going to give yourself a chance. But again, they have to turn it around, and it all won't be lost if they don't. I mean, this is still a fairly young team. I'm excited to track how this backcourt of Doug McDaniel and Kobe Bufkin continues to develop. I think that they have some guys emerging. I mean, Will Shetter and Terrace Reed have been, I'll stop short of saying a revelation in recent games, but those are two guys that I think are going to be here a while that are starting to kind of come on, and they bring a lot of energy. I like the two big look with Terrace Reed and Hunter Dickinson, except when it's late in the game and you have a guy shooting 23% from the free throw line out on the floor, but they still have, I mean, they're, I'm going to be intrigued by this team regardless of what happens, because I think, I suspect almost this entire team will be back next year, but let's be honest. I mean, year four of Juwan Howard, we expected it at least we expected it to be better than what last year looked like. And so far it's kind of more of the same and in a lot of ways, a little bit worse, especially on a defensive end. So we'll see what happens from there.
Yep. That's about it. That sums it up.
All right. Any other final thoughts tonight, fellas?
Nope. Just getting ready to watch the Big Ten play. I think Wisconsin plays tonight. Who do they play? Is it,
yeah. Northwestern's up 13-9 against Wisconsin.
All right. I like Chris Collins. I don't care what anybody says. Always a class act. I think he's a good coach. So, yeah, I go Cats.
All right. Well, that will do it for us tonight. A little shorter of a show. Just a programming note for next week. I won't be here, but I'm sure the guys will do a fine job if they decide to carry on. Thank you for watching. Be sure to leave a like on the video. Be sure to subscribe to the channel below using that button down there. You can listen to us after the fact in the podcast feeds on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever it is, wherever it is you get your audio content from, we are there. So we appreciate you guys for watching. We appreciate our friends over at the Rogue Shop. Be sure to use that promo code for 10% off using the promo code The Wolverine. For Chris Ballas, for Clayton Safey, I'm Anthony Broom. We are closing it out, and we will talk to you again next time.